And we're back at the IAC Aerobatic Center, Show Center here at AirVenture 2012 with Doug Bartlett, the president of the IAC. And joining us is Jason Stevens. Jason, hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are the president of the Arizona Soaring Company, which is the glider port down there south of Phoenix in Maricopa.
That's correct.
Are things going down there this year?
It's going really great. The weather's been nice. It's been pretty hot, of course, the last month or so, but having a lot of people come to town for their glider ratings and glider rides, and weather's pretty awesome.
Perfect place for soaring.
That's right.
That's for sure. Tell us a little bit about how you take a student who's interested in soaring. How do you bring them in? How do you put them through the program?
Well, it kind of depends on what their background is. We have quite a few students that are totally new to aviation, especially young people like the ladies that you interviewed earlier. In that case, they just start working with one of our instructors, and when they're proficient enough, they get their student pilot certificate from the FAA and do their first solo. After a certain number of solos and the written test, they take their flight exam for their private glider license.
What does it typically take?
Usually, the people new to flying need 2 to 2.5 weeks with us if they're coming in from out of town, which is the majority of our customers. And usually the cost is about $4,200 or so. The teenagers tend to learn pretty fast, so they might come in under that usually. But
they learn easy, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and the majority of our students are actually experienced airplane or helicopter pilots, and they're typically only spending 4 days with us to finish a private glider rating, which is called an add-on rating, and that's usually only about $2,400.
So significantly cheaper.
Yeah, and a lot faster. But that's because there's so much positive transfer of skills between airplanes and sailplanes.
And I would say if you've been maybe out of aviation for a little while, if you have a pilot certificate, and you just want to reinvigorate and do your BFR, a good way to do a BFR is to do an add-on rating, right?
Yep, that's right, because adding a new rating resets the clock on your flight review. And it's... While there's great skill benefits to getting a glider rating, in essence, it's a recreational type of aviation. So if you're looking for a type of flying that's more fun-oriented, more recreation-oriented, low stress, it's a great type of flying.
Now, when people think of gliders, typically pilots, maybe private pilots, commercial pilots, just general aviation pilots, when they think about gliders, they don't usually think about aerobatics.
That's right. Yeah.
But you do.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your aerobatic history with gliders.
I went for my first glider aerobatic flight when I was 14, for my 14th birthday. Pretty good present from mom and dad.
Definitely.
I did my flight with Les Horvath, who is a multi-time U.S. glider aerobatic champion. He's got a trophy here at the IAC headquarters, actually, which I've won, actually, a couple times now over the years, which is really cool. But from that first aerobatic flight, that was my first aerobatic flight in ever, you know, in anything. And I was hooked. So a few years later, when I think I was a junior or senior in high school, after I had finished my glider license, private license, I started doing aerobatic training with Les, started giving aerobatic rides and teaching aerobatics. And that was a couple decades ago, and eventually got into competition.
From my perspective, and I've done both aerobatics in power planes and in gliders, I think that for people who maybe are not super adrenaline junkies, which you go out in an extra 300 and go for a ride, you're going to pump some adrenaline. There's a lot of noise. It's loud. You know, things happen really fast. Glider aerobatics are just the opposite. It's very relaxing. It's soothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally agree. Partially because of the design of the aircraft, since they have a long wingspan relative to aerobatic airplanes, the roll rate is noticeably slower. So that changes things, obviously. But it's very important to fly with a lot of finesse with this aerobatic sailplane, because they don't have thrust to overcome sloppy flying. So if you want to make it successfully do some of the maneuvers, or at least do them nicely, you have to fly with a lot of precision and smoothness. Which I enjoy. I like that challenge.
No, and to watch it, I mean, a lot of times at air shows we have we'll have an act yep. with a glider aerobatics, and it's as comfortable to watch as it is to do.
That's right. There's been a lot of famous pilots that have flown the air show here over the years, like Manfred Radius or Bob Carlton, who I think is here again this year. And I've done a lot of air shows as well. I used to fly in the Copper State Air Show in the Phoenix area, which was is an EAA fly-in and air show out west. It's a nice change of pace from my airplane aerobatic buddies. I think the crowd appreciates the variety in the types of aerobatics that are there at air shows.
Tell us a little bit about gliders and the difference between gliders. So you've got a whole slew of them down at Estrella.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you pronounce that Estrella or Estrella?
Estrella is technically the proper pronunciation for our airport, Estrella Sailport. It's a Spanish word that means star. But most people in our country pronounce it Estrella, which is totally fine with us, too.
So airplanes.
Yeah.
What do you have down there?
For gliders, we have Schweitzer 233s as our main training type of aircraft, and we also have a fiberglass type called a Grobe 103. We have three of those as well. The Grobe is what we use for a lot of the introductory aerobatic training. I also have a glider called an MDM-1 Fox, which is what I use for a lot of my competition flying and my more advanced teaching. And that's approved for tail slides and snap rolls and outside loops and things like that, which is unusual for a two-seat glider. Yeah,
yeah. Most of them are single-seat, aren't they?
Yeah, most of them are, yep.
The aerobatic gliders.
Yep, the Fox is the only two-seater that really is a viable competitor to the high-end single-seat aircraft.
So somebody comes down and they want to learn glider aerobatics, and they're a power pilot, say.
Yep.
How do you normally transition them? Will you take them in the 233 and get them some basic soaring skills and then move them over?
Yeah, typically what we do is we help them get their glider rating completed first. That makes sense. And then after that, it's a pretty easy transition into doing aerobatics in the sailplanes. But we focus on some key differences between airplane aerobatics and sailplane aerobatics. Overspeeding is the main concern with glider aerobatics or sailplane aerobatics because of their very clean design and they have relatively low speed limits. So technique with maneuvers like a split S, for example, is really important so you don't run into a problem compared to the airplanes, which have higher speed limits and they're more draggy. Especially when you throttle back, the propeller creates quite a bit of drag. And obviously teaching some of the vertical maneuvers like a hammerhead or rolls on an upline take a lot more practice, but the sailplane timing's more critical. But most skills transfer very easily to the sailplanes. It's just a little bit different.
So tell us a little bit about your competition schedule.
Well, I'm hoping to be at the U.S. Nationals again this year. And then several of us are hoping to go to the World Championships in Europe again next year. The glider aerobatic group is relatively small compared to the airplane groups, so we're more concerned with getting enough pilots at the contests to have a viable contest. And hopefully that happens this year. I'm ready to go. I got to talk some of my buddies into making the time, I think.
Well, and it is. It's quite an adventure. I mean, obviously you can't ferry a glider across the Atlantic to Europe. You've got to container it and ship it, right?
Yeah. And next year we'll probably be shipping one of my friend's gliders overseas for that contest. Yeah.
And then you just share the glider when you're there?
That's correct. The last couple of international contests I've done, I rented a glider from a friend over there. I flew in the 2007 World Championships, which was in Austria, and I also flew in the World Air Games in Italy in 2009. For the next contest, the group of us basically decided that we wanted to fly one of our own aircraft, so we'll split the bill and ship one of our own aircraft over, I think.
Now, a big name in hosting gliders is Baron Hilton. Is he still involved in the glider community?
Yeah, as far as I know, Mr. Hilton still hosts a big contest, a cross-country racing contest for sailplanes at his ranch in Nevada, I believe it is, at a beautiful place. But that's an invitation-only type of thing. Only the best pilots from around the world get invited to that party. I have not been lucky enough to get invited to that party. My focus is mostly on the aerobatics in sailplanes, not the cross-country racing, but I have done some of that in the past, too. And
well, Arizona and Nevada are two of the best places to do cross-country soaring, correct?
For sure, yeah. Yeah, the weather's awesome. Big thermals. You can climb up really high in the thermals and go fast. It's really quite fun.
Well, and isn't that what makes soaring so unique, is that it is a mental and emotional challenge to go from thermal to thermal and actually not have to land off-site, right?
Yeah, it's really fun. You have to understand the weather and the cloud formations and anticipate what's going to happen with the weather. Cross-country soaring is definitely an exercise of delayed gratification. It's a struggle going through the course, but once you get home, it's a great feeling. For me, I'm too impatient, so I prefer the aerobatics. I prefer the instant gratification of a maneuver done well or a flight done well.
Jason, if somebody's interested in more information about glider aerobatics, is there a website they can go to?
Yes, they can email me through our company website, which is azsoaring.com. We're also on the aerobatic school list through the IAC. I can be reached that way as well.
And you have an IAC chapter there in Phoenix?
I'm not officially part of the chapter, but yes, there's a chapter in Phoenix and a chapter in Tucson.
Okay, so there's two chapters down fairly close by.
Oh, and the Tucson chapter will be hosting a big contest in November called the Tequila Cup, which will have both airplane categories and glider categories flown.
And after the flying, a lot of tequila.
That's right.
Like.
It's a great party. It's a lot of fun. So I encourage any of the aerobatic pilots from around the country to make a trip out there in November. It's lots of fun.
Oh, it's a great time to go to Arizona in November.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Jason. It was a pleasure having you.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to seeing you on your airport again.
All right. Take care.
Doug, what are we doing for the next segment?
Well, I'd like to bring our listeners up to date on the United States teams. We have an advanced team that's currently over in Europe that's getting ready to compete in World Championships, and then talk about the National Championships and the World Championships that will be in this country in 2013.
Okay, Doug, sounds good. J-Mon-G, we are on the fly down at the IAC. It's a beautiful afternoon. We're going to take a break and come back for our last segment here. So stay tuned to EAA Radio.